Let's go to Revelation 12. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You got to hear this. He deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out not onto the earth. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, this war took place in eternity. It took place And from the standpoint of our perception, he is always cast out into the earth. There is no place found for him anymore in the heavens. He's cast out into the earth. Now, can everybody accept that a minute? Can you accept that he deceiveth the whole earth? He deceiveth everyone that lives upon the earth. You. I. Me, whatever it is, one of those two. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and this is the loud voice that you must hear in the earth so that you no more live on the earth. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, our God, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is cast down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Now the next thing he sees, he's standing on the shore of the sea, and he sees the beast rise up out of the sea. He saw his own reflection. He saw the reflection of all men. And we can go through all that a little bit later. But I want you to see what this beast does. In verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. The beast that was cast out into the earth. And all the world wondered after the beast. All the world is wondering after themselves. It's the only way that the deception is so total. It's deceiving everyone that's in the earth. But by the gift of faith, we see because of that, now is come salvation. But woe to them that are dwelling on the earth. Now the question is, where are you dwelling? Where is your heart? If your heart is seated with him in the heavenlies, then this beast has no interest in you, just as he had no interest in Christ. Christ said of him, the devil is coming and he has no interest in me. Why? Because he rejected all of the value systems of the earth. Now, until you know you are seated with him in the heavens, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat, he will continually deceive you. But if you've received the gift of faith, then you know that you're seated with him on the heavens. If you hear that, you will see it. If you see it, that's how you will operate. That's how you will live. Listen, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them day and night. The accuser is still going to accuse. The instead of Christ is still going to use his minions, his voices in you, to constantly accuse. Am I communicating? Can you see the entire universe, the entire world, that every person is wandering after this beast? He thinks the beast is you and I. We think we're speaking after our own voice, but we're speaking the words of the dragon, because we are speaking the words of self-seeking. Now, I don't care what you speak externally. I care what you speak internally with this panel of judges, your Sanhedrin, the voices in your mind. And as long as those voices in your mind continue to convince you that you dwell on the earth, you can put the name of Christ on your toenail. You can put the name of Christ on your forehead. You can put the name of Christ everywhere on your outside. You can call yourself a Christian. You can have a Christian wife and a Christian tree. But you're wandering after the beast. Now, can you hear this? And as long as you're wandering after the beast, as long as you're walking in that deception of the isolated, poor little self, sneaking off, whatever it is you do, then all of this is meaningless, because all you do is wander after the beast. You give breath. You raise the evil one from the deadly head wound in his temple, in the temple of God. Instead of God sitting in the temple, the beast reigns. An evil reigns. And all you can do is sow to the flesh, and of the flesh you will reap corruption. Now it's time that each and every one of you settle this in your mind once and for all time, that you owe your flesh, your ideas, your mind, your emotions, you owe them absolutely nothing. Because you are seated in Christ. I think I hurt myself. Anybody have any response? I don't know how to say it any stronger.
Wandering after the beast is like all the forms of
self.
I was thinking about culturally from all time. It's like every new thing, you think it's a different deal, but it's a different way to wander after the beast and his, you know, our neat ways of being or something.
And every one of those voices, worship the dragon. And gave power to the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto me? I'm special. I've got special needs. People don't understand me." Oh, yeah. "You don't understand what I'm going through." Can you get it once and for all? You're just common, ordinary flesh. There is nothing special about you except who you contain. What? You've frozen time. No response. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
Ronnie? You agree?
Yes.
You understand? You understand the idiocy of wandering, being in awe of the beast, yourself, giving importance to you? Now is come salvation and glory and power and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Now is come. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And this beast can sit there and say, oh, praise God, Jesus came in the flesh. And praise God, Jesus is coming in the flesh. And the Antichrist and the beast allow it because it still keeps you on the throne. But it's only the Holy Spirit that can cause you to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in your flesh. He is your only hope. He is your only life. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Him. And the slightest wondering, the slightest giving importance to the thoughts or the emotions is the resurrection of the one who was healed from the deadly head wound. And it goes on over and over and over and over in His temple. Because you refuse to have any intellectual integrity. You live the lie of paying attention and wondering and giving importance to your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings. And evil reigns. And evil reigns. Evil reigns. And the acting continues. And the lies multiply. And the hiding becomes manifest. I don't care where you turn in the book of Revelation, you can see this. Always true, because it is the revelation of Christ. Are you tired of being deceived? Are you tired of sowing to the flesh and of the flesh you reaping corruption? Are you tired of the visions of the night that cause you terror? Are you tired of living in anxiety and concern and weight? Then hear. I don't want to talk anymore. Very short Bible study. What?
Me?
That's the reason that I get so upset about other people's behavior is because I'm so worried about my behavior. Deriving worth from behavior.
It causes constant anxiety. No peace. Except maybe brief moments of peace. Oh, that's neat. Oh, I'm in peace now. 2 seconds later. Aha! You give importance. Somebody offends you. You fall from the strong city. Back to the earth. Because you believe the battle is out external. To you. Michael? What are you thinking?
I see what you're saying. I see it every day.
You see the simplicity of it?
Yeah. It's simple.
Is let nothing, as the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity, the black and white that's in Christ. Go to Isaiah 32. I'm not done yet. I thought I was.
I just needed a break.
My voice needed a break. We studied this the other day. Thirteen. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Now, thorns and briars are always in the scriptures. They're always the fruit of the flesh, what the flesh does. Upon the land of my people comes up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Wherever your Jerusalem is, wherever this place of imagining that you go in your mind to find this peace, to find some imagined reality that you can be at peace, whether you find it by drugs or by alcohol or just by your imagination. Yea, upon the houses of joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and the tower shall be for dens forever, and a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. In other words, it's some people say that's the effect of demons. I'm not going to go there, but it's just the effect of flesh. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and we receive that which we apprehend, we accept that which has always been ours. The Spirit from on high. We're not waiting for Pentecost. Pentecost came 2,000 years ago. We're waiting for you to empty so that Pentecost can be manifest and realized in you, and you can see and know and apprehend the gift of faith. Until a Spirit be poured on us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, absence of againstness, because there is nothing that can stand against Christ. There's no law, no cause and effect, no what ifs, no reward punishment, no accusing voice. Nothing in the universe can stand against Christ, because His name is greater than every other name. And if Christ is your life, then there can be no... These voices lose their power. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. If this doesn't interest you, then first of all, you're a fool. Second of all, you're a liar. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. This temple of the living God shall be a place of peace, no matter what the external conditions, because it has been tested by everything in the universe coming against it. Nothing can stand against the peace of Christ, because Christ is peace. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and ensure anchored dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in the low place. In other words, even when all that crap is happening, you're at peace. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Well, I won't go into all that, but it means that nothing can disturb the peaceable habitation. And the nothing there is no external thing and all internal things. All internal voices and feelings and emotions are gone. Because you're not trying to establish your own rightness anymore. And no power of accusing can touch you. No voice can cause you to swerve or sway. No feeling can cause you to turn. There's no shadow of turning. And that's the gift of the faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured on all flesh. It's available to you as this safety deposit box. It's there. All you have to do is open it up. And the way you open it up is by your emptying of self. Now I'm done. Maybe.
I keep thinking if somebody asked me, hey, would you like to help me kidnap somebody and throw them in the river? I'd say no. But if I have this thought, like, what is Wade doing today? I'm like, no, I don't know. What is Wade doing?
You're helping the evil one throw you into the river. And this is why community is so vital. Because if you see your brother being led astray, being kidnapped, and you speak to it. You don't speak to it and say, well, I've been noticing something for the last 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or 1 second even. If you see it, you speak to it. Not in judgment, but in exhortation. To return to the rest. If you ever leave peace, then that's why the Psalms of Ascent are there. Because peace, it's that we, you know, I love these guys. The Scripture tell us to pray for Jerusalem, so we got to pray for those that place in the Middle East. No, that's not what it means. It's pray that you will apprehend the peace of the true Jerusalem. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that means that once you apprehend and see the peace of Jerusalem, and which is Jesus Christ, then nothing can touch you. The voices are gone. The judgments are washed away in the flood. It's so simple. All right. Bojo, any response? Amen? Carolyn, amen? Everybody else, amen?
Amen.
Stay in peace. There's no reason not to. Peace is much better than turmoil. And peace is always there. Don't be like Harry.
Thank you.
Like
just thinking about Eve and
how she saw the fruit. And, it's pretty good. Well, yeah. That's a good idea. You gotta hear this. The only definition in the Scriptures of a child of hell is one who judges for himself good and evil. Right and wrong. Instead of living in that place of abandonment. Remember, I want to meet with anybody that gets a paycheck from the foundation at 9 o'clock in the office. All right? Take it, big guy.